Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
A late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Overensi. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between throwing it down on a Monday night meltdown, a memorial Monday night meltdown. And we want to thank everybody for the sacrifices that they've made so jackasses like us can sit here and talk about sports, specifically, you know, storming the beach of Normandy. We call out athletes. We call them this. We call them that. And, you know, at times we call them heroes, but the real heroes were the people that took down Hitler. All right, you want a hero? That's, you know, go storm Normandy Beach, all right? Go storm a beach knowing you're going to get shot at by a bunch of Nazis and all the other troops that have sacrificed and been wounded over the decades and years as well. We thank you for the sacrifices. And it was hard for me not to think of my grandfather, who was in World War II, who played for the Montreal Canadiens during this series as the Montreal Canadiens. Although I will say, honestly, my grandmother was a bigger fan of the team than he was, right? He's like me. He sort of liked them, but then, you know, he kind of didn't at times. So Canadiens win this evening. Just wild, wild stuff, man. The Toronto Maple Leafs were big-time favorites in this series. They're up 3-1. They have the Canadiens on the ropes. Special night on Saturday night in the MTL. There's fans, 2,500 fans for the first time. Ticket prices are insane. The Canadiens win. And Carey Price, you know, has a save percentage of .952 in the last three games. Unbelievable stuff. Wild night in Boston, too. Man, the Islanders were on the ropes. The Islanders were on the ropes tonight. They blow a lead, but then they managed to win in overtime. Wild series going on. They're locked up at one right now. Meanwhile, we know what happened over the weekend. The Colorado Avalanche weren't screwing around. They ambushed the Vegas Golden Knights, and the Tampa Bay Lightning are getting it done. So the bracket is set. The winner of Montreal and Winnipeg will play the winner of Colorado and Las Vegas. And the winners of the Islanders and the Bruins series will play the winners of the Canes and the Lightning. So the bracket is starting to fall into place right now. And we also have news as far as the semifinals are concerned. American teams will be allowed to play in Canada. The pandemic is coming to an end. The Canadian government is opening things up, and they will be able to play on their home ice. We've got a full house this evening. Bring it!
Seriously, we do this 24 hours a day, every day.
It's real.
And it's here. We've got to come up with a better name for it than fantasy sports. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Sports Grid.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As you continue listening to Sports Grid, ask yourself
and be honest,
am I listening
enough?
Probably not.
16 hours a day.
That's all we ask. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Want to come with me and Wally to the Super Bowl?
Oh, absolutely. My favorite team's in it. The Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, ever since I was a boy, I've always loved the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, they're good, but I wouldn't count out the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I hear that President Clinton is going to be watching with his wife, Hillary.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Overensi. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, Leaf fans, Hab fans, Islander fans, Bruin fans, Sixer fans, and everybody else in between. Knicks fans are suddenly quiet. Knicks fans are quieter than Leaf fans are right now. Leaf fans are in the middle of a meltdown. And it's funny because I saw 3-1 trending on Twitter, and it wasn't the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens. It was Doc Rivers. Oh, boy. Doc Rivers. Listen, the Philadelphia 76ers are going to be fine, although Joel Embiid did leave tonight's game with soreness in the knee. A fan ran onto the court. It's getting crazy now, and I'm telling you what, you're going to see. Like, it might even be like as soon as the next series. The problem is, logistically, it's hard for them to figure this out, but they're going to have glass put up. You'll still have the Drakes of the world, and 50 Cent and Spike Lee will be allowed to sit courtside. The real celebrities, they'll charge, so much money that the riffraff won't sit there. But behind them, you're going to see they're going to put glass up. There's no choice. People can't be trusted. It's pretty simple. Someone ran on the court. Someone threw a beer bottle last night at Kyrie Irving, just missed his head. That guy got charged with assault with a deadly weapon and stuff by throwing a beer bottle. I hope it was worth it, buddy. I get it. You hate Kyrie Irving, but yeah, now you're going to go to jail for throwing a bottle at Kyrie Irving at a basketball game? Really? Is that worth it? All right, so craziness. I got to believe that Leaf fans would have been throwing stuff on the ice tonight if Leaf fans would have been there. There were 550 healthcare workers in the building. So let's bring in Mo Khan right now, who's in Montreal. TSN 690 and more, play-by-play voice, McGill University. Mo Khan steps up and in. How you doing, Mo? It's been too long. How you doing?
Yeah, how you been, brother? All is well out here in Montreal.
We should note, too, Mo is a hell of a football player as well. Hell of a college football player as well. I remember that night I nearly got killed in Chattagay. You remember Broncos Raiders?
Yeah, I do. I do remember
those
that.
North Shore kids, those North Shore kids don't play around, man.
No, they don't.
Neither to Chattagay. You guys want a rivalry? Forget about the Leafs and the Habs. Talking about junior football, man. North Shore versus the Raiders. Stuff was like hardcore, man. Like, it was like right out of a movie. Other kids are going to their car to get guns and stuff like that. But so listen, Mo, what's the feeling in Montreal right now? I'm sure you tuned into the radio a little bit. You're seeing everybody on Twitter, but what are people saying about this win right now?
Gabe, it's elation for this Habs Nation. Coming into this series, not many people picked the Habs to win. I actually had them winning in six games, and I thought they were ready to beat the Maple Leafs. And by game four, when it was 3-1 for Toronto, people wanted Dom Ducharme, Mark Bergevin, Shea Weber, Carey Price, Tom Tatar, all on a plank and pretty much sent into the St. Lawrence River. And once they won game five, Gabe, it kind of gave a little bit of confidence to this Habs team. And I think it really turned for them when they went to game six and Carey Price once again saved their backside and forced a game seven. And Gabe, let me tell you one thing. Come Monday morning, as it was yesterday, since we're now early Tuesday morning in Montreal, there was a sense of confidence from Habs Nation and from everyone in the city that they could pull off the upset. And they did. And now they face Winnipeg come Wednesday evening.
Yeah, I don't know how they flicked the switch, honestly. I really don't. And, I was one of the people that believed, Mo. Listen, you know me. I ripped them every night, but I kept betting on them every night. You know what I mean? It was one of those
deals. Of course,
so I was like, they're terrible, but I'm going to take them again tonight, all right? Because I think they can win. So it was one of those deals. But I had my doubts. Listen, that was rock bottom, bro. And I said it earlier. It was rock bottom, I thought, after game four. Guys shut out 4-0. It was just they were nowhere near the level that they needed to be at. And you've seen this all year with this team. Like, too fancy. Power play is inefficient. They waste time just passing the puck everywhere. They don't crash the net. They're not aggressive enough. They're a completely different team, Mo, for the last three games. I don't know how. Like, honestly. Like, I don't know. Like, I've been watching hockey a hell of a long time, guys. Like, since the early 70s type thing. I don't know if I've ever seen a team change as much as they did mid-series. It's like suddenly, look at their goals in the last few games, bro. You know, big guys getting in front of the net. Anderson crashing the net. Corey Perry planting his ass in front of the net. They weren't taking weak little wrist shots from 35 feet out. They were getting real scoring chances. They were buzzing around. They were cycling the puck. They were keeping the puck in the zone. The defensemen were getting the puck out of the zone. Like, just fundamentally, bro, like, they just got great overnight. I don't know how.
Yeah, you know what, Gabe? When you look at it from two halves, right? The first half of the series, Sheldon Keefe outcoached Dominic Ducharme. Ducharme didn't outcoach Keith in the last three, four games of the series. What it was is that his guys, he brought in Jesperi Kotkaniemi into the lineup, Cole Caulfield, the Hoyt Baker Award winner, into the lineup, and they made a difference. And even the Leaf players tonight in the postgame press conference all said Caulfield made a difference from what he was on the ice with his presence. And that's where I think they really kind of eased up, because they said, look, these young guys have nothing to lose. You're playing with house money. And Caulfield, Suzuki, and Kotkaniemi all had instrumental, influential abilities to come change the games as it was in 5, 6, and 7. And Gabe, as we saw last night in Toronto, game 7, this Habs team did not relent at all. They pretty much looked like the carbon copy of what they were in 2010 when they took out the Washington Capitals and Pittsburgh Penguins en route to the third round. This was the exact same blueprint of, look, park the bus, take on the pressure, and we counter back for that goal, and that's what they did to get that 3-1 win over Toronto.
And let's be real as well. Carey Price was the real difference maker earlier in the series, right? In the games,
yes,
in which, you know, tonight, listen, tonight he was good, but let's say, you know, what was it, game 5 and then game 6 specifically, and tonight they really stepped up, and I said it, Mo, and what are they now? I believe it's 15-0. I don't know if you know the exact number, but I'm pretty sure it's 15-0. The last 15 times they've scored 3 or more goals in a playoff game they've won, which is just, like, stupid insane. And I heard Craig Simpson on the broadcast tonight say 22-1. So now 23-1. Imagine that, guys. 23-1 the last 24 playoff games when the Canadians score 3 or more goals. It's like he's like Jacob deGrom or Roger Clemens in his prime or something, Mo. If you just give him a goal lead, you're good. Give him a 2-goal lead, you're going to win the game, bro. He's that good right now.
You know what, Gabe? This reminds me, and I'll go back to the baseball example. Madison Bumgarner, when they took out the Royals in the World Series, right? Remember that game in Kansas City where the Royals had their runners at first and second, couldn't punch it in for the runs and whatnot. The exact same carbon copy with what Carey Price did. The Toronto Maple Leafs had oodles of chances in this game last night. They just couldn't cash it in. And we go back to even game 6, Gabe. I'll give you this stat right now. When the Habs are up 2-0 in the third period of that game 6 with 8:37 left, the Canadians were stuck at 29 shots. They were stuck at 29 shots for 19 minutes and 36 seconds of game action going from the third into the overtime session. The Toronto Maple Leafs had their knockout chance. They couldn't do it. The Habs rope-a-doped the Toronto Maple Leafs these last couple of games here, and now they move on. But quite frankly, Carey Price has been the difference in why they are moving on to the second round and not golfing come tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, and it's too soon to use Patrick Waugh comparisons to the Montreal Canadiens run in 1993 or even 86. But the way that he's playing right now, he gives them a chance against anybody. That's what hockey is, guys. If you've got a goalie like that, you can beat anybody. And that was some next-level stuff. And people are going to be critical of the Leafs, and justifiably so. Their spirit was eventually broken. But let's be real, man. It's not normal to have a 950 save percentage in the playoffs, all right?
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Bring it!
There's a pandemic going on out there.
It's catchy.
It's called
The Winning Edge.
And the only place you can get it
is right here.
Get on the grid.
And stay there.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As long long as you can remember.
There's only ever been one thing in your life that's been there for you. It's meant memories, family, friends.
And yeah, we'll say it.
Fun. Welcome to your home for talking sports. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, listen, I need some cash.
What for?
I just need it, that's all.
Oh, no. Don't tell me. You're gambling again, aren't you? Oh, you weak, weak man. What?
The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates tuning in to the late night hours. Sirius XM Channel 204. We got MoCon, TSN 690. And more kicking over us. We got George Kurtz, Sports Grid's very own. Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible, Sports Illustrated, will join us a little bit later on in Level 3. Paul Bovee normally joins us on Mondays, but being the high roller that Paul is, he went to Puerto Vallarta for the weekend. And he said he was going to be back for tonight. But he stayed an extra day, so he's not. But it worked out perfectly because the Montreal Canadiens just beat the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we're all fired up about this. For those of you watching our video stream, as you can see, I busted out the old-school Expos jersey, MoCon. Didn't have a Habs jersey here. I have a couple of Habs jerseys, but they're in storage lockers somewhere. You know, I find hockey jerseys a little bit too hot. And this old-school Expo jersey is real nice, but it's polyester, man. It's not like the new jerseys are a lot thinner and cooler. Busted the fan out as well. Man, I was sweating. You would have thought that I had 25,000 on the Leafs tonight the way I was sweating the way the show opened. But no, now we've got the fan cranked. We're nice and cool. So what a year. So MoCon joining us from Montreal. What a year, Mo, in which the Canadiens started off well. And then they fire Claude Julien like they do every couple of years, even though he's above 500. And I didn't think it was the right move. And then you know, they fire the goalie coach. And then fans, you saw them. I'm sure you heard them. Carey Price is done. You got to trade Carey Price. Jake Allen's better. Then, so you know, they get COVID. The wheels sort of fall off. They skate ass backwards into the playoffs. It wasn't like they were hot or anything like that. But neither were the Winnipeg Jets going into the postseason. And then they win the first game, and then they just look terrible. And then they look great the last three games. It really is. It really has. Like, saying it's a roller coaster would be an understatement.
Yeah, this is a team that was full of twists and turns this year, Gabe, and how they played out, right? They were gangbusters the first 10 games, 7-2-1. They average almost 5 goals a game because they were playing Vancouver like 55 million times in the month of January. And the thing was, once they fired Claude Julien, Gabe, it was late February. People asked, why did they do it then when they could have done it during their bye week to allow Dominique Ducharme the time to implement his system? And that kind of got Ducharme off on the wrong foot because he couldn't get proper practice time because they were playing almost every second night of the season. And even with the COVID lockdown that happened to the Habs, that he still couldn't get proper practice time and injuries that happened with Gallagher, Weber not being healthy, and others on the roster. And this was a complete hell for Dominique Ducharme trying to establish his name and perhaps retain himself as a permanent head coach for this team moving forward. And then let's not forget, Gabe, right? The future of Marc Bergevin, the GM of this franchise. He's been there for 9 years. He went all in on the free agent signs last fall to bring in the Toffolis, the Perrys, the Edmondsons, and Jake Allens. And that was starting to falter for him. And even when you look at this series, after game four, when they were down 3-1, as I said to you before, people thought that this would have been the end for Marc Bergevin as a GM and for Dominique Ducharme as the interim head coach. But now they've been both been given a lifeline, and they probably are now in the driver's position, the driver's seat to be back next year and beyond. So this was a miracle, I guess, to use for Marc Bergevin and Dominique Ducharme to retain their positions moving forward.
All right, listen, Mo, let's not spoil the party here, bro. The Canadians just won the game. I won my bets, and now you're talking about Marc Bergevin. Yeah, Marc Bergevin just got a lifetime extension, Mo, all right? The Molsons already love him. He just got a lifetime extension. He beat the Leafs. Ducharme just got a 3-year deal. Let's be real. He's got a 3-year deal. Like, he's got a 3-year deal out of this. Listen, I said this earlier. This is like, you know, and I don't know. Things always, your perception always changes as things go on, right, Mo? But I said before the series started, I said, really, this is almost like Auburn and Alabama. I said, if like, whoever wins this series, like specifically Montreal, it's like, yeah, whatever. Because, look, they haven't played in forever. It is a rivalry. And the Canadiens fans now have bragging rights. Like, it just is. Like, listen, we beat you. You know what I mean? We played, we beat you. It is what it is. And it was sort of like that, well, as long as they beat the Leafs, who cares what happens after, right? It's like Auburn, Alabama type thing. But now that they've moved on and you see, wow, you beat the Winnipeg Jets and suddenly you're in the semifinals. And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, Mo. There's a lot of hockey to be played. But as Ted Teeven would say, there's a lot of racetrack left. But think about it, Mo. The Avalanche are going to beat the Knights, right? So let's say the Canadiens beat the Winnipeg Jets. Then the Montreal Canadiens are playing the old Quebec Nordiques in the semifinals, man. Like, that's pretty hardcore and pretty cool. I brought up that they should wear those jerseys just to really add, like, some fire to it. Someone told me they're not allowed to because it's alternate or something. I don't buy into that. I think that you almost have to. But can you imagine that? I'm just thinking of the storylines now. Like, wow, they beat the Jets, and then suddenly it's the Avalanche. It'd be insane.
It would be, Gabe. And let's not forget, though, right? We still don't know in Canada what the issue will be for travel, right? Will the Habs have to relocate to the U.S. to play wherever it might be if they get past Winnipeg, right?
No.
So right now,
no, they're finishing off talks now, Mo. It's pretty much a done deal. They're finishing off talks now, where there will be an exemption for NHL teams. Now,
right,
exactly. What happens now? Though is, if I'm the Toronto Blue Jays or if I'm TFC and I'm the Vancouver Whitecaps, I'm saying, whoa, 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 whoa. So NHL teams are getting exemptions now? Then we're coming back. Then we're coming home to play, right?
For sure.
So you're telling me you can't give – and I get it. Hockey takes center stage in Canada, but how the hell are you going to look at the Toronto Blue Jays and tell them, listen – yeah, we're letting the Colorado Avalanche in to play against Montreal, but we're not going to let the Yankees in? Everyone's vaccinated anyways. Like, let's get real. I think, if anything, this actually, because, you know, there was talk about mid-August, right? CFL, right? And, you know, of course, Mo covers the CFL as well. You know, CFL, mid-August starting. And there was a lot of talk about the Blue Jays having fans like August 17th or something like that. But I think all this could be accelerated now. You can't tell me you could have fans for one league and not another league. COVID doesn't know the difference between leagues. Right, so if you're letting teams in, if you're letting one team in one league, you got to let the other teams in another league.
No, you're right. And the thing is, right, if they do allow this to happen, right, so you have the proper home ice advantage for both teams here. The thing is, when you look at that Colorado-Montreal storyline, I mean, look, the history of what the Patrick Watt trade was 25 years ago that set both franchises in different directions, right? The Habs have been in an abyss of trying to be playoff successful, which they've never achieved. And you look at the Avalanche up until the last few years where had their low end. They won two cups, right? They're now in position with Nathan MacKinnon and that roster right now to make a deep run in the playoffs. And if what we saw on Sunday against the Vegas Knights, what they did, if that carries over for them, they might just steamroll through this round and the next round and make it to the Stanley Cup final outright. So right now for the Habs, look, you have to get past Connor Hellebuyck and this Jets team. And Gabe, if there's one team that gave the Habs problems, it's the Winnipeg Jets and how they play under Paul Maurice in that style. So Dominic Ducharme has his work cut out for him, and that's why it's important for them to get that first game, if not the second game, going back to Montreal.
No, you're exactly right. And that is the massive difference. And listen, it wasn't Jack Campbell's fault. It was not Campbell's fault that the Toronto Maple Leafs didn't win this series. He was good. You know what I mean? If the Forwards didn't score when it mattered. But with that being stated, there's a difference between not being your fault and then the goalie stealing stuff, right? And Connor Hellebuyck can steal stuff. It's going to be a challenge. It's a different matchup. So as Mo mentioned, so listen, guys, they played 9 times this year. It's pretty crazy. So they played 9 times this year, and the Winnipeg Jets won 6 of them. Now, we should note, though, that the Jets won the first 3 times. So the last 6 times they played, they split 3-3. I think that is important to note. And we should also note that they were all pretty high-scoring games.
that 7 of the 9 of them went over the posted number. 5-3, 5-0, 4-2, 4-3, 4-2, 7-1, 4-3, 2-1, and 6-3. So it did play to the high side, although I wouldn't expect it to play to the high side as high this time around, Mo. So now they get the Winnipeg Jets. What do you think? What do you think plays out here? What's your prediction for this series now, Mo?
Well, I know I got a day and a half before it begins here. I'm leaning towards the Jets in 6. I think Connor Hellebuck is the best goaltender in the North Division. That back end is phenomenal. You look at the attacking fours that they have. Look, I thought Pierre-Luc Dubois would have taken a long time to adjust, and they maybe would have taken a step back when they traded Patrick Laine away. But Dubois is fitting well. That team has looked much more relaxed. And let's not forget, they're well-rested. They had almost a week off here with the Habs playing a grinding 7-game series against Toronto. And I just think right now for Dominic Ducharme, can he out-coach Paul Maurice at this point of the season? Because Maurice is a taskmaster, very good with his tactics. And if he can't get that one up on him, this might be a shorter series than expected. But again, Connor Hellebuck versus Carey Price will be the heavyweight fight that we both look forward to come Wednesday night.
I actually lean with the Canadians in this series. I think it's a complete toss-up. Listen, I'll be honest with the Leafs. I said this series is going 7 games. I actually said before the series, I said the Canadians and the Leafs are going 7 games, and they'll probably go to overtime.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Right? So I thought it would be real, real close. And listen, man, it's all matchups, right? The Edmonton Oilers are chokers. The Canadiens are not, right? The Canadiens play better hockey in the playoffs. There's a lot of pressure on the Winnipeg Jets here. More with Mo on the other side. Bring it.
You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network, doing our part to spread the winning edge nationwide. Get on the grid. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Your search
is over.
You found it.
What you've been looking for.
The definitive culmination of the state of the art of sports talk.
This
is the winning edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Nobody wants to hear the nonsensical ravings of a loudmouth malcontent.
Well, too bad, because here we are. I am Gabe Morenci, the Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Grid. Jordan Kurtz will join us from Long Island. As they're partying right now on the island, but not as much as they are in Montreal. And I don't know. I'm assuming that even though everything's closed, that people are like hitting the streets and stuff like that. I'm on StubHub right now, and there's no tickets for the Jet series up yet. There will be. I didn't realize StubHub had the history of the teams up and everything. It's interesting. It says Montreal Canadiens tickets, team, Montreal Canadiens, league, NHL, home games, Bell Center, Stanley Cup titles, 24. So let's remember that, people, all right? When you're talking about this series with the Winnipeg Jets. And Mo, people can talk about, like, if past history matters or it doesn't, and I think it does. Let's look at the Toronto Maple Leafs. Does past history matter? They haven't won a playoff series in 6,251 days now. I mean, I saw a graphic. We saw a graphic tonight. The Montreal Canadiens are now 10-0 in their last 10 game sevens. It's pretty crazy. I got to be honest with you. I don't remember them losing in Game 7 to the Minnesota North Stars. But I kind of do, because I remember the North Stars going to the Stanley Cup Finals that year. Right? So, but now I kind of do. When I saw that, I was like, really? We lost to the North Stars in 1980? Really? And then I thought about it. I'm like, yeah, I guess they did. I guess they did. But, yeah, it says all-time greats, Maurice Rocha-Richard, Guy Lafleur, Patrick Waugh, Ken Dryden, Jean Beliveau, Doug Harvey, Larry Robinson, and Jacques Plante. I think you have to put Carey Price's name next to that. Even if this kid never wins a cup, man, he's been as good as these guys. rivals. Toronto Maple Leafs, bye-bye. Boston Bruins, still alive. And imagine, well, let's get really crazy right now. Canadians beat the Jets, they beat the Avalanche, and they play the Boston Bruins in the finals.
I'll say this, Gabe, right? You know, from a historical perspective, Toronto is Montreal's rival. But from a hated perspective, Boston is what riles up this fan base. You know very well, living in Montreal for many, many years, how much passion they have towards Boston. So if there was a collision course of the Bruins and Habs at that point of the season, I don't think the city of Boston or Montreal would still be in one piece by the time it's all said and done with those two teams.
Mulcon, kicking it with us. All right, I see that Utah final score 120 to 113. Dear God, what was my bet? Like 232 and a half? Did I win by half a point? It was 231 and a half. Boom. Good stuff. Hey, we're hot tonight. I was a little worried about that. I played an in-game. 231 and a half. All right, Mo. So let's see. Yeah, before we get you out of here, I'll just throw a couple other things at you. So, yeah, this series is going to be fired up. Ticket prices won't be as crazy, guys, as they were in Montreal this time around. That was because it was the Leafs. Even though, like, it's further in the playoffs, it'll be more affordable. People will be able to get in. You know, any word, is it going to be 2,500 again? Or are they going to expand it at all? Probably 2,500 again still, huh?
For now, Gabe, it will be at 2,500 unless numbers, as we see now, continue to improve for COVID-19 hospitalizations. There could be a scenario where we could see maybe another 1,000 more be allowed at the Bell Center to watch a game. But right now it'll be 2,500 going towards games 3 and 4. And if things do improve going into June, I think we could see it open up a little bit more, which again is good news for not only for the Canadians, but for CFMTL and also for the Montreal Alouettes if and when they come back with the CFL season later on this summer.
And people are raising good points here, Mo. Carey Price only played in 4 of the 9 games this year against the Jets.
Yep.
2-1-1. 3 of the games were in overtime, 3-on-3 crap. That's not going to be that doesn't happen again. And as I stated, guys, yeah, it's 6-3 in the 9 games. But as I mentioned, the Jets won the first 3 times that they played early in the season. So the last 6 times, it was actually they split 3-3. And I see the similar situation here. You know, and like Mo said, listen, the series was just announced. It's tough to make a pick here right now. But I don't see why this series isn't going 7 games. Like, this is going to be a battle between elite goalies. And for all you people that think the Jets, let's not forget, Mo, the Jets lost. Like, what did they lose? 11 of their last 13 regular season games? Or 11 to 14?
Yeah.
I think they were 1 in 10 and 11 games, and I think they won their last 2, actually. I think the Leafs rolled over, whatever. I think they're 11 and 14. Basically 3 and 11 in their last 14 games. And then they beat the Oilers, who always lose in the playoffs. So let's not pretend the Jets are some, like, you know, powerhouse or anything like that. They can be good, but they can also be bad.
No, they definitely can. And let's not forget, right, the Habs were actually 2 points behind the Jets for 3rd place in the North Division late in the season. And what if, right, maybe they flip-flop and we talk about Edmonton beating Montreal than what it was for Winnipeg to take out the Oilers. But I think in this context that we have right now, going towards the first game, I am curious to see how the Jets will react to Cole Caulfield, Suzuki, and Kotkaniemi, right? Those 3 guys had, when Jake Muzzin was not in the lineup against the Habs in Game 7, they had a free release, free reign, free seams to go up and attack the zone with ease. Will the Jets get rough and tumble with those 3 young guys to make it tough on them? I'm also curious to see the health and the endurance of Shea Weber, Ben Chiarot, those guys included with Joel Edmondson and Jeff Petrie. Gabe, they've played a lot of minutes these last couple of games here. Will they be fresh for game 1, if not game 2? So let's see how they will now react for Dom Ducharme with his defense pairings and how he keeps those guys fresh for the first game in Winnipeg.
I got to tell you what, in the first game in Winnipeg is on Wednesday night, and the Winnipeg Jets opened up as minus 120 favorites. It's now minus 118. The Canadians are plus 102, and wow, there wasn't a total before. I saw the number earlier, guys. I tweeted it out from FanDuel, but they posted the number 5, Mo. Everything's always 5
really?
And a half.
Really? Wow.
They posted at an even five. So the odds makers, they're not playing around with Carey Price anymore. And they know that Hellebuck is a wall, too. You've got two great goalies going head-to-head in this series. And we don't have a series price up yet at FanDuel, but series prices are always pretty much the exact same as what the game one price is. So expect Winnipeg to be like minus 120 favorites, 115 to 125 series favorites. But I'll tell you one thing, Mo, in my opinion. You great point that you just raised, that the Canadiens D, they didn't play a lot of guys either, right? Like their legs have to be a little bit worn out. There's not a ton of recovery time here right now. I imagine they're going right to Winnipeg. They play Wednesday night. Wednesday night's a bad spot for the Canadiens, Mo, isn't it? Like the Jets have had some time off, so maybe they're a little rusty, but normally you see guys in hockey and in the NBA, in a seven-game series, when a team wins, they usually get killed in the next game, bro. Right? It's a different matchup. They're tired.
Yeah.
And it's just human nature, right, Mo? You are out. You know. The Canadians' internal clock, their bodies know it's not a must win, right? Like, they just knew their lives were on the line for the last three nights. It's not suddenly. They can almost exhale, like, well, even if we lose tonight, we're good, right? You know what I mean? We're only down 1-0. So, and we can win on Friday the way they look at it. But maybe they keep it going. Maybe Carey Price keeps this going. But it seems like they're in a bad spot here playing Wednesday.
Yeah, there could be the emotional and physical letdown. But let's not forget, Gabe, right? So we have Wednesday, game one. Friday, game two. They go back-to-back Sunday, Monday. So there really isn't a proper rest period for this Canadiens team, right, going to the first four games, because you said it perfectly, right? You're going to travel back 1 hour to Central Time now. So you got to adjust to that time zone. And I think for the Canadiens right now, for Dominic Ducharme going towards game one, he's got to keep those shifts short, allow his guys to keep fresh, because by the third period, the Jets could lean on a very fatigued Habs team in that third period. So that's why it's imperative they come back to Montreal with at least a split, because when we get to those back-to-back games, if they get swept like they did against Toronto and be down 3-1, that could be a steep mountain to climb and try to catch up to the Jets if you're down 3-1 before game five.
What a pile of crap that is, though, Mo. That I get it in the first round, all right? They needed to catch up to everybody because, of course, the Northern Division was slowed down by COVID by the Vancouver Canucks, and the playoffs started a little bit later in the North Division than they did everywhere else. So the Northern Division teams were the only teams asked to go back-to-back, right? So fine. You go back-to-back in the first round. They shouldn't be forced to do this again. Like, you know what I mean? They're caught up pretty much. There's a difference of a couple of days now. Like, now it's ridiculous that they're making them do that, but whatever. We know this. Gary Bettman hates Canada, Mo. Let's just be real. You know what I mean? Do you think they want a team from Canada making the Stanley Cup? They don't.
No. And I'm surprised, Gabe, quickly. I was going to say, I'm surprised that Sportsnet CBC didn't angle for the second game to be played on a Saturday night. As you know, is a traditional hockey night for Canadians, right? So it is definitely a bit precarious, a bit bamboozled by this whole process and how they went about the schedule format. And this could definitely weigh not only on the Canadiens, but on the Jets, because if the Jets were to advance, think about how much wear and tear they would have to go through with so many games in a short period of time before they face the Avalanche or Golden Knights in the third round.
The league doesn't care. They wouldn't do that to the Bruins. They wouldn't do that. They wouldn't get away with it, right? I said, you want to do it once, fine. You did it in the first round, all right. You're caught up. Like, so the difference is up by 2 days. And as you stated, too, in the entire series, there's not one Saturday game, Mo. Not one Saturday game in the Jets and Canadiens. Even if it goes seven games, guys, they wouldn't play on Saturday once, which is a pile of crap. They'd play Sundays, Mondays, the league is bearing it, right? Because now they don't have a choice. Because now, it has to be on NBC networks and all this type of stuff, right? So they're like, screw this, right? We're not putting two Canadian teams on TV on a Saturday night. So that's why, when you people think, oh, no, it's not rigged, it is rigged. It is. Like, they don't want a Canadian team in the finals, guys. It's as simple as that. And, you know, you'll see it. You'll see all the calls that the other team will get The Avalanche will get all the calls against the Jets and the Canadiens. For a fact, they will. It's not even like they'll like what the Jets or the Canadiens will need the Avalanche to completely fall apart, because the league won't. You know, who the hell do you think the league wants in the Stanley Cup? Right? They lose half the ratings. You remember what a disaster it was, Mo, with the Raptors for ABC? It was their lowest rated finals ever. Internationally, it was the biggest rated finals ever. Right? So in the big picture, the NBA was fine with it, but ABC wasn't. And let's just be real. Who the hell do you think controls everything?
Of course.
Yeah. That's, you know what I'm saying? Now, I don't know. One thing with NBC, they don't even have the rights next year, so you could screw them and say, well, whatever. You guys don't even have the rights. So listen, Bo, great job, buddy. Before we get you out of here, what do you – we got 30 seconds, Mo. What's your pick for the Lakers now? Lakers' Suns moving forward now that AD's going to miss tomorrow.
Big loss for the Lakers, I think, for the Suns. It's going to be Chris Paul and his health. The question is, can the youth and interior of the Suns really be influential in this game 5? I think Phoenix takes it back to L.A. Up 3-2 back to L.A.
Mocon, follow him on Twitter, Mocon19. Great stuff, Mo. Thanks for joining us.
As much as you take care, bro.
The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it.
Remember, you can listen to Sports Grid on the radio, TV, satellite, or the internet. To make it any easier, we'd have to move in with you.
And nobody wants that.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
As our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering, real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Don't think of us as a place to just hear sports talk. Think of us more as an all-you-can-listen buffet of live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use.
Bon appetit.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
This Sports Grid. Great job by Mo Khan. Thanks for joining us. Khan! The Wrath of Khan. Right now it's the Wrath of the Hab fan. Craig Button, former general manager of the Calgary Flames, predicted on TSN television that the Montreal Canadiens would not be able to win a single game in this series. And then after, when they did win a game, he said they won't win again. Right? So he sort of doubled down on it. And now he's taking it pretty easy. People are coming at him pretty good. People are coming at him pretty good right now on Twitter. Except he's making a mistake. Now he's blocking people. You shouldn't care, Craig. You shouldn't care. But at the same point in time, I like Craig Button. I like Craig Button. He's a nice guy. And you listen, don't, especially on TSN, so many of those guys are boring and don't make any picks, right? They're, oh, it's going to be close, right? They never pick anything. So at least this guy came out and had an opinion. But now people are like coming at him hard. This is why you got fired by Calgary. And like, then people make it personal and stuff like that. But I don't. And I actually feel for Leaf Nation right now. Because honestly, like out of any team in the National, they're the most popular team in the National Hockey League, all right? They're also the most hated team in the NHL. But they're the most popular team. You know, I would say Montreal are. Like, you're not going to find any two cities, right, that people love their team and the team as much. Now, I think they love them even more in Montreal. It's kind of the same, but Montreal is sort of next level, like religion type stuff. It's still kind of a sport in Toronto, right? Montreal is, it's like a church. It's almost like crazy in Montreal, unhealthy. But the thing is, Toronto's bigger, right? So I'm just stating, like, the Toronto Maple Leafs literally have, like 5 million fans, 7 million fans, I think. It's amazing. Like, and they want it so bad. It just can't happen for them. It's like the Red Sox. They become the Red Sox like before the Red Sox won.
Terrify, they run. Crucify, let it be done.
You're listening to the home of the winning edge.
It's easy to get.
Just keep it here.
Get on the grid.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.